Good evening, church. Our text for this evening is Revelation chapter 15. Revelation chapter 15. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen, and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God, who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from his power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that once again we can access your very throne room. As your church bought by the blood of Jesus Christ, your only begotten Son, we thank you for boldness and confidence to be able to call you Abba, Father, to come before your throne of grace, to worship and praise your holy name. For you alone are worthy of all praise. You are God Almighty, El Shaddai. You are the Lord God who flung those billions of galaxies into space. Yet you are our loving Heavenly Father who loves us with a love which is undying. And you've proven that love to us in giving us your Son. Blessed Lord, we thank you, for you left glory for us. You came while we were yet sinners. You shed your blood on the cross to forgive us of our sins and to give us the free gift of eternal life and the joy of abundant life. We thank you for your very presence here. Yes, Lord, your grace has upseated us with you in the heavenly places. You indeed are seated far above all rule, authority, and power and dominion, by every name that is named in this age and the age to come. We thank you that in your presence, O Lord, we experience fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. We thank you for this evening hour, for your holy word, for your spirit who dwells in us. We thank you that our bodies are your temple. We thank you, Lord. We offer our bodies to you as a living sacrifice once again. As your temple, as your treasure, as tools in your hands and weapons for your use. Lord, we ask that you'll open our eyes even as we look into the pages of your word. Breathe your breath upon us, O Lord, for we cannot grasp your word unless and until you open our eyes. So open our eyes that we may perceive wonderful truths out of thy holy law. And write your word upon our minds and upon our hearts. O come, Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's look once again at the outline of Revelation as we begin each Sunday evening. The key theme, Jesus Christ is victor. The key verses are Revelation chapter 1 verse 19 and Revelation chapter 17 verse 14. I read to you Revelation 1:19. Write the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall, which will take place after this. What are the things which you have seen? You see that in chapter 1, John's vision of the exalted Christ. What are the things which are? Chapters 2 and 3, the messages to the seven churches. And then the things which shall be hereafter are written in chapters 4 right up to chapter 22. In chapter 4 and 5 we see worship in heaven, the throne in heaven where God is worshipped in chapter 4 as creator and in chapter 5 as redeemer. then the tribulation on earth from chapter 16 right up to chapter 19. In the first half of the tribulation, in chapter 6 to chapter 9, the middle of the tribulation from chapter 10 to chapter 14, the last half of the tribulation, when we begin our study today in chapters 15 to 19. Then we see the kingdom of Christ in chapter 20, and then the new heavens and the new earth in chapter 21 and 22. Now we said last time that Revelation chapters 14 to 16 speak victory, speak voices of victory. From chapter 14 right up to chapter 16, we hear voices of victory. And we heard the voice of the 144,000 in Revelation chapter 14 verses 1 to 5. Then we heard the voices of the angels in Revelation chapter 14 verses 6 to 20. And now we hear the voice of the victors, Revelation 15 verses 1 to 4. And then the voice of fulfillment, the voice of fulfillment from Revelation 15 verse 5 right up to chapter 16 verse 21, the whole of chapter 16. Now let's look at the voice of the victors in Revelation 15 verses 1 to 4. Then I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them the wrath of God is complete. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested. Now at this point, John sees the seven angels holding the seven vials, the seven bowls of God's wrath, and they are poised for action. The wicked world is about to drink of the wine of the wrath of God. Revelation 14, 9 to 10. Then a third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if anyone worships the beast and his image and receives his mark on his forehead or on his hand, he himself shall also drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out full strength into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. But before the angels pour out their judgments, there is an interlude, and that interlude is an interlude of blessing before sending the third woe in Revelation chapter 11 verse 14. Just before that, God once again reassures his faithful people. Now John saw the believers from the tribulation. He saw the believers from the tribulation who had overcome the beast and the system of the beast. And he says in Revelation 15 verse 2, and I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who have the victory over the beast, over his image and over his mark and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God. Now these are the people who love not their lives unto the death. In Revelation 12:11, they are tribulation saints. They've gone through the tribulation, but they have not succumbed to the ways of the Antichrist, the mark of the beast. These are the people who love not their lives unto the death. Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they did not love their lives to the death. Now since they did not cooperate with the satanic system, and they did not receive the mark of the beast, they were unable to buy and sell. Revelation 13:17, and that no one may buy or sell except one who has the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So they're totally dependent on the Lord for their daily bread. And some of them were put into prison, some of them were slain. Revelation 13 verse 10, he who leads into captivity shall go into captivity. He who kills with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. So, some of them were put into prison, some were slain, but all of them practiced faith and patience. All of them practiced faith and patience. And this entire scene is reminiscent of Israel following the Exodus. The nation has been delivered from Egypt by the blood of the Lamb, the Passover. and the Egyptian army had been destroyed at the Red Sea. In thankfulness to God, the Israelites stood by the sea and they sang what is called the Song of Moses. And now these tribulation saints, they also sing. And I saw something like a sea of glass mingled with fire, and those who have the victory over the beast, over his image, and over his mark, and over the number of his name, standing on the sea of glass, having harps of God, they sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty, just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Now the tribulation saints, whom John saw and heard, it says here they were standing by the sea of glass in heaven. Revelation 4:6, before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal. And in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. Now just as the Israelites, they stood by the sea, by the Red Sea, and they sang the song of Moses, the tribulation saints whom John saw and heard were standing by the sea of glass in heaven. And they're singing the song of Moses, and they also sing the song of the Lamb. The song of Moses is recorded in Exodus chapter 15. And there is a refrain in that song. And that refrain you find in other passages of scripture. The refrain is in Exodus chapter 15 verse 2. "The Lord is my strength and song, and he is become my salvation." That's the refrain. That's the chorus. Exodus 15 verses 1 to 19. "Then Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord." This is after deliverance through the Red Sea. "Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, 'I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and its rider he has thrown into the sea.'" In fact, Miriam picks up her tambourine, and later on you see in the same passage, and she sings, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider he has thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation." You see that? That's the refrain. "He is my God and I will praise him. My father's God and I will exalt him. The Lord is a man of war." Just remember, they're delivered from Egypt. They've crossed the Red Sea. The Egyptians are drowned in the sea. And they're singing this song. "The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariots and his army he has cast into the sea. His chosen captains also are drowned in the Red Sea. The depths have covered them. They sank to the bottom like a stone. Your right hand, O Lord, has become glorious in power. Your right hand, O Lord, has dashed the enemy in pieces. And in the greatness of your excellence, you have overthrown those who rose against you. You sent forth your wrath. It consumed them like stubble. And with the blast of your nostrils, the waters were gathered together. The floods stood upright like a heap. The depths congealed in the heart of the sea. The enemy said, 'I will pursue, I will overtake, I will divide the spoil. My desire shall be satisfied on them. I will draw my sword, my hand shall destroy them.' You blew with your wind, the sea covered them. They sank like lead in the mighty waters." By the way, today those chariot wheels are still found there in the crossing. They've discovered those chariot wheels. "They sank like lead in the mighty waters. Who's like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who's like you, glorious in holiness, fearful in praises, doing wonders? You stretched out your right hand, the earth swallowed them. You in your mercy have led forth the people whom you have redeemed. You have guided them in your strength to your holy habitation. The people will hear and be afraid. Sorrow will take hold of the inhabitants of Philistia. Then the chiefs of Edom will be dismayed. The mighty men of Moab trembling will take hold of them. All the inhabitants of Canaan will melt away." Because they're going to Canaan. They're going to enter. Of course, they wandered the wilderness for 40 years. "Fear and dread will fall on them by the greatness of your arm. They will be as still as a stone till your people pass over, O Lord, till the people pass over whom you have purchased. You will bring them in and plant them in the mountain of your inheritance, in the place, O Lord, which you have made for your own dwelling, the sanctuary, O Lord, which your hands have established. The Lord shall reign forever and ever. For the horses of Pharaoh went with his chariots and his horsemen into the sea, and the Lord brought back the waters of the sea upon them. But the children of Israel went on dry land in the midst of the sea." Now the 144,000, they also sang a song. But remember, they sang a song that nobody else could sing. But this song, sung by the tribulation saints, all saints can sing. When Israel returned from Babylon, when they returned from Babylonian captivity, when Israel came back after 70 years of captivity in Babylon, and they re-established their government and they restored the temple worship, they used the same refrain at the dedication service. At the dedication services, they sang Psalm 118. And you find the same refrain. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Let Israel now say His mercy endures forever. Let the house of Aaron now say His mercy endures forever. Let those who fear the Lord now say His mercy endures forever. I called on the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a broad place. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is for me among those who help me. Therefore, I shall see my desire on those who hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me. Yes, they surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me like bees. They were quenched like a fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. You pushed me violently that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. Many of them went through agony in those 70 years in Babylon. In verse 14, you find the refrain. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tents of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord does valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me severely, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go through them, and I will praise the Lord. This is the gate of the Lord through which the righteous shall enter. I will praise You, for You have answered me and have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. So you have prophecy of the Messiah. This was the Lord's doing. It's marvelous in our eyes. This is the day the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I pray, O Lord. O Lord, I pray, send now prosperity. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you from the house of the Lord. God is the Lord, and He has given us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords to the horns of the altar. You are my God, and I will praise you. You are my God, I will exalt you. O give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. Note specially Psalm 118 verse 14. We read that. The Lord is my strength and song, and He has become my salvation. Now, it's very interesting. Isaiah prophesied that in the future, this is 700 plus years before Christ comes to earth, before His incarnation. 700 years plus before His incarnation. Isaiah prophesied that in the future, God will call His people back to their land. And that prophecy is fulfilled today. They will sing this song again. And we have seen this happening in our present day. Isaiah 11 verse 15. I read to right up to 12. Chapter 12 verse 6. The Lord will utterly destroy the tongue of the sea of Egypt. With His mighty wind He will shake His fist over the river and strike it in the seven streams and make men cross over dry shore. There will be a highway for the remnant of His people who will be left from Assyria, as it was for Israel, in the day that He came up from the land of Egypt. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise You. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For Yah, the Lord, is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Find the refrain again. Therefore with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, praise the Lord, call upon His name, declare His deeds among the peoples, make mention that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Now the song of Moses is indeed a very important song. In the hymnal of the Jewish nation, the song of Moses is a very important song. Now this scene in Revelation chapter 15 would give great assurance, would give great endurance to suffering saints in any age of the church. Because the scripture very clearly states that it is possible to be victorious over the world system. It is possible to be victorious over the world system. One does not have to yield to the mark of the beast. Through the blood of the Lamb, we have deliverance. Our Lord's work on the cross is a spiritual exodus. It's accomplished by His blood, by the blood of His Lamb, by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. Revelation 12:11. And they did not love their lives unto death. That's how we overcome the enemy. Luke 9:31. We see Luke 9:31, who appeared in glory and spoke of his disease, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now in Luke 9:31, the word disease is actually in Greek, it is exodus. The Greek word for disease there is exodus. Now in their song, the tribulation saints, they praise God's works as well as they praise his ways. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and the song of the Lamb, saying, "Great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name? For you alone are holy, for all nations shall come and worship before you, for your judgments have been manifested." Revelation 15:3-4. Now the earth dwellers, meaning unbelievers who are on earth at that time, certainly they would not praise God for his works, and they would not understand God's ways. God's works are great, they are marvelous, and his ways are just and they are true. Now notice here, there is no complaint. There is no complaint here about the way that God permitted these people to suffer in the tribulation. There is no complaint. How does this apply to us today? We are talking about tribulation saints. They go through the tribulation, they overcome. They overcome Satan and his system. They overcome the Antichrist. By the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, they do not love their lives even unto death. Now, how does this apply to us today? It would save us a great deal of sorrow if we would just acknowledge the fact that God is sovereign. You know, our problem is when we go through trial, we go through trouble, we go through pain, what do we do normally? We start grumbling. We start murmuring. We forget the sovereignty of God. We forget the sovereignty. And it happens to anybody. It's happened to me too. The Lord told me recently, just recently he said this, "Don't forget I'm on the throne. Don't forget I'm on the throne. I'm in control. I'm in charge. You just obey me. Just obey me." When we go through trial, when we go through suffering, go through pain, and you go through difficult circumstances in life, don't ever forget this. That he is the sovereign God, and he's on the throne, and he's in control. And therefore, we can overcome the enemy. And how do we overcome? Because he overcame. How? By the blood that he shed on the cross. He crushed the head of the serpent on the cross. Remember that. And because you and I believe in him, we have the same victory because we trust in him. We trust in him. So there's no complaint here about the way that God permits the people, these his own people who are tribulation saints. There's no complaint when they're going through the suffering. Never ever forget that Jesus is on the throne. There is nothing that he does not know regarding what is happening to your life. No matter what circumstances you are in right now, the Lord is righteous in all his ways and holy in all his works. Psalm 145:17. Now this phrase, King of Saints, in Revelation 15:3, "O King of Saints," that can also be read King of Ages. God is the eternal King, but he's also in charge of history. And nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by accident. The singers here, the tribulation saints, they seek to glorify God and to honor him with the very praise that the first angel proclaimed in Revelation chapter 14 verse 7, saying with a loud voice, "Fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him who made heaven and earth, the sea and springs of water." Now, antecedents of this song are found in Psalm 86 verse 9. "All nations whom You have made shall come and worship before You, O Lord, and shall glorify Your name." Psalm 90 verse 1 and 2. "Lord, You have been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever You had formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, You are God." Psalm 92 verse 5. "O Lord, how great are Your works. Your thoughts are very deep." Psalm 98 verse 2. "The Lord has made known His salvation. His righteousness He has revealed in the sight of the nations." Psalm 111 verse 9. "He has sent redemption to His people. He has commanded His covenant forever. Holy and awesome is His name." Psalm 145 verse 17. "The Lord is righteous in all His ways, gracious in all His works." Revelation 15 verse 4 is another anticipation of the kingdom. And that verse foretells the time when all nations shall worship the Lamb and obey Him. Revelation 15 4. "Who shall not fear You, O Lord, and glorify Your name? For You alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before You, for Your judgments have been manifested." Now this verse also announces that God's judgments are about to be manifested. God's judgments are about to be manifested. So now we come to the voice of fulfillment that we see in Revelation 15 verse 5, right up to Revelation chapter 16 verse 21. We'll just look at Revelation 15, the rest of the passage today, verses 5 to 8. "After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was open, and out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Then one of the four living creatures gave to the seven angels seven golden bowls full of the wrath of God who lives forever and ever. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power, and no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed." Now the great voice that comes out of the temple commands the seven angels to do what? To pour out the contents of those bowls, those vials. Revelation 16:1. "Then I heard a loud voice from the temple saying to the seven angels, 'Go and pour out the bowls of the wrath of God on the earth.'" And after this, he announces that it is done. Revelation 16:17. "Then the seventh angel poured out his bowl into the air, and a loud voice came out of the temple of heaven from the throne saying, 'It is done.'" The mystery of God is finished. Revelation 10:7. "But in the days of the sounding of the seventh angel," when he's about to sound, "the mystery of God would be finished, as he declared to his servants, the prophets." Now the martyrs in glory, remember, they had asked this question, "How long, how long, how long?" Revelation chapter 6 verses 9 to 11. And now their cry would be answered. In Revelation 6 verse 9 to 11, you hear their cry. "When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, 'How long, O Lord? How long, O Lord, holy and true, until You judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?' Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer, until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed." The martyrs in glory, they'd asked the question, "How long?" And now their cry would be answered. And these seven angels, they emerged from the heavenly temple. Revelation 11:19. "Then the temple of God was opened in heaven, and the ark of His covenant was seen in His temple. And there were lightnings, noises, thunderings, and earthquake, and great hail. Revelation 15 verses 5 to 6. "After these things I looked, and behold, the temple of the tabernacle of the testimony in heaven was opened. And out of the temple came the seven angels having the seven plagues, clothed in pure bright linen and having their chests girded with golden bands. Now the seven angels, they emerge from the heavenly temple. Why? Because their work is holy. Their work is holy. As are the judgments that they're going to bring. The angels' clothing reminds us of the priestly garments. for their service as a divine ministry. When the Old Testament tabernacle in the temple was dedicated, these earthly buildings were filled with what? They're filled with God's glory. Exodus 40 verses 34 to 35, in the tabernacle. And the cloud covered the tabernacle of meeting, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle, and Moses was not able to enter the tabernacle of meeting because the cloud rested above it, and the glory of the Lord filled the tabernacle. Then you see in the temple, when the temple was dedicated, 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 1 to 4, when Solomon had finished praying, fire came down from heaven. What a sight it would have been. Fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the Lord's house. And all the children of Israel saw how the fire came down and the glory of the Lord on the temple. They bowed their faces to the ground on the pavement and worshipped and praised the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endures forever." And the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord. So when the Old Testament tabernacle and the temple were dedicated, these earthly buildings, they were filled with God's glory. But now, the heavenly temple is filled with smoke. Revelation 15 verse 8. The temple was filled with smoke from the glory of God and from His power. And no one was able to enter the temple till the seven plagues of the seven angels were completed. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6 verses 1 to 4. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. The house was filled with smoke. Not artificial, eh? Today we have smoke bombs, eh? During worship services. This was real smoke. The presence of God. Ezekiel chapter 10 verse 4. Then the glory of the Lord went up from the cherub and passed over the threshold of the temple, and the house was filled with the cloud, and the court was full of the brightness of the Lord's glory. So this smoke that we read of here in Revelation 15 is likewise evidence of what? Of the fact that God is a God of all glory and God of all power. God's glory and God's power. That's the smoke. Each of the angels has a specific target. And what is the target? Because each of those, they have vials, bowls. And they have specific targets. And the earth dwellers have already suffered. They've already suffered from the seal and trumpet judgments. We've already seen that. But this is the final series of judgments. The vial judgments or the bowl judgments. These are the final series of judgments which will climax God's plan that will lead to the fall of Babylon, the world system, and the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to the earth. Alright, in the light of what we learned today, how must we believers respond today? You see, the coming of the Lord is very nigh, very nigh. The next event, I believe, on God's calendar is the rapture of the church, which can happen at any time. And then will be the tribulation, 7 years. And the latter half, the last part, 3.5 years will be, the last 3.5 years will be the great tribulation. And that's what we're studying now. We're in chapter 15, chapter 16, chapter 15 and 16. Right up to chapter 19, the last half. So once the rapture takes place and the judgments of God will come upon the earth, in our present study right now, at present we have entered the last half of the tribulation. Remember the outline, the tribulation on earth, Revelation 6 to 19. The first half is chapter 6 to 9. The middle is chapter 10 to 14. The last half of the tribulation is chapter 15 to 19. So, the clock is ticking and time is running short. Jesus is coming soon. ask yourself, how ready am I? Am I ready? In our service for the Lord, we are bound to go through, trials. We are bound to go through sufferings when we serve the Lord. But we must remain faithful. We must remain faithful and we must overcome the enemy. We must overcome the enemy. The Lord permits the enemy to strike. He does. At times he does. Why? Because he's teaching you how to fight. He's teaching you how to fight and how to overcome the enemy. And it's important that we learn to fight these battles against the enemy. And how do we fight? We overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, of our testimony. And we must not love our lives even unto death. They overcome him, Revelation 12:11, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. You see, when we fight the battle against the enemy, for example, let's say you're praying for a soul to be saved. This morning I was asked that question. I'm praying for my brother to be saved. That was the question today. How do I pray? How do I pray? Very sincere question. I'm praying for my brother to be saved, but how do I pray? Pastor, how do I pray? So I said, you start calling upon the name of the Lord, asking the Lord to deliver your brother. That's making petition. Right? That's petition praying. You're crying out to God saying, Lord, if my brother continues like this, he will go into eternal hell. And I do not want to see that happening. I desire that he be saved. I want him to be saved. I am seeking your face, asking that you deliver him. I call upon you, Lord, because only you can deliver him. Don't forget, somebody has prayed for you. Otherwise, you would not have been saved. Alright? Somebody has prayed for you. Otherwise, you would never be saved. So cry out to the Lord and ask the Lord to deliver your brother who is unsaved. Then the question was, what else do I do? Because this person was very concerned, very concerned, because knowing fully well that her brother is lost. And no argument, reasoning has ever brought anyone to Christ. Alright? Don't ever think by reasoning you can bring somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. It can't. It has never happened. Salvation is a miracle. The work of the Holy Spirit. Conviction of sin doesn't come by reasoning. I mean, by argument. It doesn't happen by argument. God says, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. What does that mean? That you come to your senses. That's what it means. You come to your senses. Come now to your senses. Come, let us reason. That's what he's saying. Alright. For a person to come to his or her senses, what must we do? We must battle in the spiritual realm. We have to battle in the spiritual realm. You have to cry out to God and pray with perseverance. Pray with perseverance. Don't give up praying for a lost soul. Remember, Augustine's mother, Monica, prayed for him for 16 years. 16 years. Augustine lived an immoral life, miserable wreck. And his mother didn't give up. She kept praying. And then one day, he got saved. And he becomes Saint Augustine. So, petition praying. So you're crying out to God for the lost soul and keep doing that. Right. Now, while you do that, the Lord will reveal to you, something that's happening in the life of that person you're praying for. It may be there is a particular spirit that is binding that person, right? Holding that person down, chaining that person, not letting that person go free, right? So when you are praying, petition praying for a soul that is to be saved, you cry out to God, and then the Lord will reveal to you what that particular bondage is in that person's life. What must you do at that point? You must rebuke that particular spirit that is binding that person. You have the authority to do so. You have the authority to do so. This is what it means to bind the strong man. Right? So in the name of Jesus, you rebuke that spirit. You command that spirit to depart from that person in the name of Jesus. And when you do that, you do it with authority which is delegated to you by the Lord Jesus. He gives you the authority to bind the strong man. And then you can enter and release the person. And this is the battle that we are called to fight in the spiritual realm. Now, how do we do this? We raise up the banner of the blood of Jesus Christ against the enemy. That's why it says here in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him by what? By the blood of the Lamb. You see, the blood of the Lamb is what causes Satan to flee. The blood of the Lamb is what causes Satan to flee. Every stronghold that the enemy has over people can be commanded to leave by the blood of the Lamb. Raise up the banner of the blood of Christ against the enemy. The enemy has to flee. You see, demons flee only in the name of Jesus. I was listening to a testimony the other day. The electrician, Yeshudas, he did all the electrical wiring here. When I got this house, the sockets were there, no wiring. The wires were missing, there were no wires. The socket is there, the pin is there, but no, many places. That's how I got the house. So, Yeshudas is a believer, and I've known him for many years. So, he said, I'll do it for you. I'll do it for you. So, I was his assistant for almost 15 days. I would move the ladder, and I would go around wherever he wanted me to go around. In between, I'll sleep, and then I get up and do the work. He did work for 15 days. We fixed all the wiring and everything. All right. Yeshudas, you know how he came to faith in Christ is very interesting. He said he had an aunt who was demonized. And she was violently demonized. I mean, she was violent. She would attack. She would, you know, the demons, once they get hold, once a person is demonized, the demon controls the physical faculties of the person. The person can become very, very strong physically. Very strong physically. And they tried everything. And he's telling me, he speaks in Tamil and mixed with Malayalam. So it's very interesting to hear his language. He says, it's neither Tamil nor it's Malayalam. But he communicates it. He doesn't know how to write, he can't read. But he's one of the best electricians I've seen. Extremely good, extremely good. Alright, he's telling me this. He's saying, Yellam Pate sir. Yellam Pate. That means we went everywhere. Muslim Bali Ponanga. We went to all the, the known people who, the Muslim priests, the mullahs. Then we went to all the temples possible. We did all the pujas possible. All the money was depleted, nothing was left. Then somebody told them, நீங்கள் வந்து கிறிஸ்டியன்ஸுக்கு பக்கத்தில் போனால் அவர் உங்களுக்கு வேண்டி ஜபம் பண்ணுவாங்க. யூ கோ டு த கிறிஸ்டியன்ஸ், தே வில் ப்ரே ஃபார் யூ. ஸோ தே டுக் திஸ் லேடி அண்ட் வென்ட் டு ஒன் பாஸ்டர், அண்ட் த பாஸ்டர் இன் த நேம் ஆஃப் த லார்ட் ஜீசஸ் கமாண்டட் த டீமன் டு ஃப்ளீ. த டீமன் லெஃப்ட் அண்ட் ஷி வாஸ் கம்ப்ளீட்லி டெலிவர்ட். தி என்டையர் ஃபேமிலி கேம் டு ஃபேத் இன் த லார்ட் ஜீசஸ் கிரைஸ்ட். How are these demons? How can they flee? They can only flee. They will only flee in the name of Jesus. Only in the name of Jesus. They overcame him. How? In the time of tribulation also, this is the only means by which you can overcome the enemy. Now and then. as long as we have life on planet Earth and we are battling the force of darkness, there's only one method by which we can battle the force of darkness, by the blood of the Lamb. Overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Alright? And by the word of their testimony. Now what does that mean? We must testify to what the word of God says about the blood of Jesus. That's what it means. Alright? We must testify of what the word of God says about the blood of Jesus. And when we testify, when we speak what God's word says about the blood of Jesus, no demon will be able to stand. No demon will be able to stand. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death. In the process, you might even die. When you stand for the Lord Jesus Christ, you see, one of the things that the enemy does is, when he can't get you, when he can't tempt you and cause you to fall into a trap or into a sin, he tries all his methods. Ultimately, what he'll do is he'll try and attack your body, persecution, physically attack you, do something to, you know, even maybe kill you. But without God's permission, not possible to kill. If God decides, God has already decided whether you're going to be martyrs or not, God knows. Okay. As believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, what must we be willing to do? Don't love your life even unto death. At the cost of your very life, you must follow the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said, if anyone shall follow me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me. If you're willing to do that, you can overcome the enemy. We began by saying, remember, that the enemy can be overcome. The enemy can be overcome. It may cost us our lives. But what is more important? To succumb to the works of the enemy and to have the mark of the beast. Or to submit to God, resist the devil. And God says that he will flee from you. The enemy will flee. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they did not love their lives to the death because they knew in whom they believed. The Apostle Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5 verses 8 to 11, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. When you go through suffering or you go through trial, something amazing happens to you. And that's eternal. What happens primarily is when you go through suffering, when you go through trial, your character is becoming more and more like Jesus. Only one thing that you can take when you leave planet Earth. What? Your character. Nothing else you can take. And you will be judged by what? Yes. You will be judged by your character. You stand before the judgment seat of Christ. We are saved. So we are not going to stand before the white throne judgment. That is the judgment of unbelievers. But we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where we'll be, where all that we have done after we have come to know Christ will be put right in front of us. And we'll have to give account. Alright, I have to give account of the work that I do as a pastor. So you know why I pray for you now. Because one day I'll have to stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and if I don't pray for you, then I've not done my job. Alright, I'm not doing that just because I have to answer Christ. I'm saying I have to give an account. I have to give an account of what God has entrusted me to do. Each one of us will have to give an account. What ultimately stands is all of this will go through fire. Alright, all that we have done will be judged by the Lord Jesus Christ, and it will be judged by his eyes that see the very motives. That's the judgment by fire. Means God knows why we do what we do. Alright. God knows why we do what we do.
You know, it's not what we do that he's going to judge. He's going to judge our motives primarily. Why we do what we do. And so if you're doing it right, then what happens is there will be character formation in our lives. We will become more and more Christ-like. We will become more and more Christ-like. And accordingly, we will be rewarded in heaven. So don't grumble when you go through trial, when you go through suffering. No matter what situation you are in, you will face pressure. Stand up for Jesus. Alright? There's a beautiful hymn that goes, yes, my father used to put us to sleep by singing this song. When we were kids, he'd carry us in his arms.